Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome, everyone, to another wonderful week of Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Of course, you can find us at chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com. It's really all the same thing. I'm joined today by my wonderful co-host.
I'm back!
And you were gone for a week.
Yes, I've successfully escaped the drudgery of video game development, and the powers that be have allowed me once again to resume my radio career. So
I told the listeners last week, actually, that I just kicked you off the show.
Oh, well then, I guess I kicked myself back on.
Okay. Yeah, they had no idea it had anything to do with making a game. Now, we also had Rich on the show last week, and I asked him back because he's got this amazing retention for current events in the gaming industry. Is that right, Rich?
Apparently.
Yes, and he's also very, very exciting on that mic.
Indeed.
So I'm working on getting him, I don't know, pumped up on something that will make him exciting. We were talking about Red Bulls, right?
Yeah, I think we just need to drink like four of them before we come in then.
All right. Well, you can leave during the break and go get them. There's like a Circle K or something nearby.
I have about four Turbo Truffles before the show every day.
Fantastic. So
actually, before I go to sleep every day too.
Now, we have a show.
Yeah, he knows what those are. Yeah.
I'm keeping my mouth shut. So we have a show in front of us, and unfortunately, there's been really not a lot going on in the video game industry. I remember before last week's show, Adam, who was with us last week as well, was like, you know, there's really not a lot going on lately.
And oh, but I disagree, Alon. I've got, look at all this stuff. Look at all these papers.
Now, granted, we have managed to be amazing hosts and find some wonderful things to discuss, but it's not necessarily like current eventsy stuff. It's not that there's...
No.
It's not some big game came out, well, although Shadowrun did come out.
Except for this weird Jack Thompson interview thing.
Yeah, the Jack Thompson thing we're going to talk a little bit about, although I want to make a concerted effort by all of us to not actually say that name. So if we could, just because I don't like saying Jack Thompson.
How about JT? Or just T?
He who must not be named.
Yeah, that's long. How about just idiot? But so we're going to talk about that. Also, this New York gaming bill. Like, I've been done talking about gaming legislation, but apparently this one's happening. Is that what's going on? It's actually made its way into law and it's not being repealed? I don't know.
Well, it was like there was a post on Game Politics where they're like, oh, it was the fastest. I don't know. It just like it got passed so quickly. It was on the fast track or whatever. And
isn't Clinton like the senator of New York or something? Is that, you think that has anything to do with it? Am I wrong? Is she really a senator for Wyoming? And I don't pay attention.
I don't know. Yes. I don't think she's one of the principals of this bill, but or now law, I guess. But I read some stuff about it, and I actually don't care. I mean, I don't see what the big deal is. It doesn't seem to do much. In fact, there were some of the senators were arguing that it's actually wholly, wholly redundant. And other laws actually, you know, completely covered what this law was supposed to do. So, bureaucracy at work. I don't know.
The idea of the 16-year-old kid at EB Games, you know, being sent to jail or going to court or something, when, you know, you could sell cigarettes to a kid. This is what Rich was telling me in the car. Like, he brought this analogy to the forefront. Like, selling cigarettes to a kid, not as bad as selling a video game to a kid.
Well, I mean, wouldn't want them to... You know, partake in simulations of, I don't know, like cars blowing up and, beating up people on the street now, would you?
No, it'd be
horrible. That's far worse than filling your lungs with nicotine.
That's debatable, though. I mean, video games haven't been shown to cause that much emotional damage to a 16-year-old kid that plays Grand Theft Auto.
Beyond that, I don't care.
If you're smoking a pack of cigarettes a day, your lungs are going to be damaged.
You could sell him a knife, and you could sell him... cigarettes.
Yeah.
And apparently that's not as bad as selling him a video game that a company decided was rated M.
Well,
is not a government organization.
Well, it just goes to show you that this whole process is not logically motivated, it's politically motivated, so you get weird things like this happening.
So I don't understand how it was able to be passed so quickly. I don't get it.
Politics, dude, politics. I mean, why is I don't know, why is like such and such popular thing so popular, right? I mean, it's just these things have a momentum of their own, and, you know, when everybody, you know, likes something, you know, everyone else wants to like it too because, oh, I can't say no to this because it would be politically unpopular. And then so just like things just have their momentum and they go and they get passed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what else to say, you know? I mean, that's all I would chalk it up to.
Well, it does seem silly. But I would think that as a lawmaker, like, because you and I could go into politics and we could become lawmakers. We're no different than the people who actually did enter into that position, right? And we have brains, and I would like to assume that the people behind this also had brains and could think, well, what is this bill like? How does it compare to things that are already in action?
I'm accepting contributions for my future campaigning.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to email me, go ahead. I'll accept any amount.
Email them a PayPal contribution? Is that what you're looking for?
PayPal, cash, you know, kroners. I accept everything.
It's not tax deductible, though, as he has not registered as an official candidate for any office.
Right. It actually, I'd rather you not make any documentation that you've made such payment.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, like, you'd think they would compare it to something else. Say, well, what about selling a movie ticket to a kid when it's rated R? What about selling a knife to a kid? What about selling, like, all these things? Yet this is it a felony?
I believe it's a felony.
Did they call it, like, a Class D felony, which I don't know what Class D means.
Well,
I guess
I'm right to think a felony is worse than a misdemeanor, right?
Worse? I mean, felonies
yes,
are pretty
felonies
bad.
Felonies are
You
bad.
Go to jail for felonies,
like, there's
right?
differences. If you've committed a felony, then, like, you can't vote or something.
It's
you're convicted of a felony. But,
really
but a misdemeanor, you keep all your rights,
yeah,
correct?
Like, yeah, because, you know, it's just a misdemeanor. It's like, oh, I accidentally farted in your face, you know. But a felony is like, you know, I don't know, kicked the crap out of you and knifed you to death.
Yeah, so, like, serious things happen when you're convicted
yes.
of a felony.
It seems rather extreme, if that's what you're getting
Are we
at.
All in agreement?
Yeah.
It's not just me, right? Because you seem to not care much. Like, yes, it's a little bit crazy.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I don't know, maybe I just, like, whatever I hear about politics, I just gloss over and I just stop paying attention to everything. But, I don't know, they said it was Class D felony, so I don't know what that specific...
demented
thing means. Maybe it's like a lower class type of felony. I don't know.
It's
maybe
still a felony.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have to get anally raped, right? That's part of the sentence, not for a misdemeanor though.
I mean, I don't know. I think that as far as, you know, this whole minors issue goes, I mean, I would have no problem with them saying, like, okay, and I don't even know what's on the books now, but I mean, why don't they just say, all right, you know, if you're a minor or, like, you know, you have to present some form of ID to prove that you're of a certain age to buy something. Just like anything else, right?
Yeah, no, that's pretty standard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why don't they just do that?
Well, that hasn't been a law. And
that's the simplest thing. And then if they sell something to a minor, just fine them the same way that you would, like, you know, sell alcohol to a minor or tobacco to
a
minor.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Or anything regulated as such.
Yeah, it's that's the thing, though. Instead of making the law saying, okay, you just can't do it, like all the other stuff, they're going a step further and saying, well, not only can you not do it, you're also going to go to jail if you do. And it's not like all these other things. Like, selling cigarettes, proven to hurt the people. Not that it's illegal to smoke cigarettes when you're 5 years old, only illegal to sell them.
Although I have to say that, you know, when I went to Walmart this weekend to buy Oblivion, the Elder Scrolls 4, you know, to save $4 because I realized that
you shouldn't be feeding the Walmart economy.
I know, but I really wanted to save $4. I thought it was very, very ironic that the woman at the counter asked me if I was 17. Okay, this was before shaving.
You look
very
young.
And I was like, I think so.
Ara's petite.
Yeah.
Did she require ID?
I don't know. It was pretty funny.
All right. Well, I'll let it slide.
So,
blind lady at Walmart. We're going to be right back after these messages. Don't go away, anybody.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I'm Alon. I like to talk during the breaks and even into the show.
Yeah, this is, and we've got a special guest here, once again, I guess from last week as well. We've got Rich.
Hello.
Rich is actually our senior investigative reporter of useless information nobody cares about. I think he might be joining us more often. He just has to prove that he can keep the useless information flowing.
Sweet.
Sounds fun.
So,
speaking of useless information.
Now. Okay, well, I may as well give out the number because I love hearing from people. So, if you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 866-536-1100.
That is the number.
And we were talking about me going and buying Oblivion, which I did last week.
Even though it came out
a year ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago. And, you know, there were several reasons why I waited a year to pick a game like this up. One of them was because of the severe withdrawal symptoms that I had after playing Morrowind.
Okay.
And the other one was that I didn't want to pay the $60-$70 for the game when it came out.
It's worth $60.
And, well, yeah, you know what? It probably is because it's, you know, one of those.
Since you've been playing it nonstop.
It's probably worth a few kilos of cocaine, but, you know, because it just takes up that much of your time. But, yeah, so I was like, okay, you know what? Oblivion, like, I think it'll be pretty cool, but why don't I just, like, wait and not get it right away? Maybe the price will drop. No, the price didn't drop. You know, so I was going around trying to find, you know, the game for a cheap price, and then I go to GameStop or whatever. Oh, let's look at the used bargain bin, whatever. No, used copy is $5 less than the new copy.
Didn't I warn you before you went to the store that it was going to cost?
You told me this, but of course, you know, I mean, I don't believe anybody, so I had to find out for myself, and this is absolutely absurd.
He calls me and says, hey, do you want to go around to used places and try to find a copy of Oblivion? And I was like, well, you know, it's just going to cost $55 instead of $60. He's like, you're kidding me. I was like, no, it's going to cost $55.
I can't believe that they get away with that. That people will. I mean, why would you want to buy a used copy if the new one's $5 more? Why?
Because it's $5 cheaper.
Well, because if you get their membership, it's another
10%. And then it's a 10%.
Off, and then it's a whole $10.55.
Okay. All right. So all you guys apparently are working for GameStop.
I'm just telling you their mentality. It has to be raised high so that the people who have the discount cards can buy it at the price they really want to offer it, which is still more than it should be offered at.
Agreed. Okay, anyway, so I buy this game, and I've been starting to play it. And it's a very, very interesting game. And there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about that I noticed. First of all, I don't know. Now, Rich, you tell me that you've played Oblivion quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, how many hours would you say?
50, 60?
Rich, you play far too many video games.
And Alon, have you ever played Oblivion or Morrowind or any of the Elder Scrolls games?
I have found it within myself to avoid the entire series without fail, and I'm not the least bit worried about it.
Well, that's fantastic, because you've avoided descending into a spiral of hell, unlike myself and Rich. This game is, I don't know, there's something, there's a few really weird things that I feel when I was playing this game. Now, when I played Morrowind, you know, I played that for about 50 hours, and it was just this hopelessly enormous game. I don't think that I ever got past, like, the third town.
I didn't accomplish anything when I played Morrowind. I played, like, two of the main storyline quests and then went off for 40 hours just killing people. And then I forgot there was even a story to the entire game.
I heard there wasn't much of a story.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
The thing about the whole, like, the characteristic of the Elder Scrolls games is that, you know, there is a main storyline, but it's actually, like, kind of short. And what you can do in the game is you can kind of arbitrarily just delay the progress of that storyline. And there's about, you know, I would say, I don't know, maybe the main storyline is, like, 5% of the game, and 95% is just all kinds of other stuff that may tangentially have to do with it or may have nothing to do with it. And
that sounds like the sort of realism injected into the game that never really should be injected into the game.
Well, it has an interesting effect, because what I found out when, you know, just playing Oblivion this past week is that there's this weird thing that happens because there's so much stuff in the game that I'm sorry, I can't stop thinking about this, like the guy sleeping in the ductwork upstairs or something. Whatever's going on here.
For those who can't hear it in the recording, I don't know if it's on the podcast that you may be listening to now, or live. Yeah, but it really sounds like someone's breathing into our microphone. We all hear it, and we're all just trying to keep our mouths closed. But, like, the guy behind the glass running the show, his face is not in front of the mic. My face is not breathing into the mic.
So, I don't know. I think, like, Gary Busey is in the ceiling, and he's got a mic somehow, and he's patched in.
Yeah, I don't know
Gary,
him either.
Come on down here. Let's at least talk to you before you access all after this.
Let's
show.
Just pretend it's not happening, and okay, maybe it's not right. Getting under the recording.
All right, so what was I saying? So, about Oblivion, okay, there's something about it where, you know, when you're playing something like, I don't know, like a regular Japanese RPG, right, which, like, content-wise is not nearly as robust as something like Oblivion, like, not even in the same class, right? I mean, when I'm playing, like, a Japanese RPG, I don't feel like, you know, there's really any point a lot of times to what I'm doing, and so I just stop playing. But this game, for some reason, I feel like it's somehow, like, its existence is more meaningful or more justified, but it's not
in real life.
It's in real life, in a way, but it's not because of anything that's necessarily qualitatively different. It's more just because it seems like there's just so much quantity to everything. There's so much detail. There's so much of everything in it that it almost, like, just the sheer change in quantity somehow becomes a qualitative change. So I don't know if you can relate to this, Rich.
I would definitely agree. You just have the tendency when you're playing Oblivion that you have to do the next quest. You have to go do this. You have to go get this item. I don't know what it is, but you just keep playing.
What was the last game you got so hopelessly stuck in?
Oh, Disgaea 2.
Yeah. And that game involved you going inside of pizzas and notebooks and things?
Yeah, it's a different kind of hopelessness.
Okay.
But it has that same kind of, you know, compulsive feeling, but it's really a completely different category.
I just don't know if I would be attracted. I'd probably play that for 10 minutes, and I would say, okay, I'm done hacking and slashing at this guy.
It's not just that, though.
Here's the thing about
the
whole point. Well,
getting to the top of each, like, you have your mage's guild or whatever, or your fighter's guild, and you have the urge to get to the top of that. So you can finish all of those quests and be the best person in the Fighter's Guild and then go to the arena and be the best in that and just beat everybody else. I don't know what it is, but once you start it, you have to finish it, and then it's 6 hours later.
Yet it has no finish.
Well, it does. I mean, there's a limited number of quests, and then once you finish all of the quests,
there's no limit,
kind of
then you
finished,
can buy the expansion.
But you can, yeah, and then there's expansions and stuff. So it's just, you're compelled, the game encourages you to continue playing every single quest until you're done.
I don't know. I feel like this discussion has taken me down to another level of hell, not the game.
Okay, well, there's one more thing I wanted to say about it, which it was actually really, really fascinating, is that, and this kind of will turn into a discussion about just AI in general, and more specifically, like, AI character behavior. I read this article in Gamma Sutra online, about this guy was calling his article the Artificial Intelligence in the Uncanny Valley. And for those who don't know, the term Uncanny Valley refers to things like in graphics when they're, you know, rendering people's faces and stuff, right? When the level of quality gets up to a certain point of realism, you start to notice smaller and smaller details of imperfections, right? So something that can be very close to absolutely real actually seems even further away. It seems even more unreal in a very strange, awkward way, because, you know, the closer that you can get it to realism, the more ways you can get it wrong if it's not stylized enough.
Okay.
But we'll get back into that when we come back.
To Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
We're back here on the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon, and I breathe into the mic. Next to me,
Gary Busey.
And that's Ara. And Rich is joining us again, our senior investigative reporter of useless crap that nobody wants to know.
I'm still here.
Yeah, go over to chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com to learn about our show. Normally, you can even chat with us live, although, I don't know, something's up with the chat room. It doesn't exist right now, apparently, but whatever. We'll figure out how to get that fixed. You can also email us. R and I receive actual email from actual listeners, and on occasion, we even talk about it. Now, this week, I think we got a few things to cover. I don't think we're going to get to listener mail, but you're welcome to do that, and we might even talk about it. And I'll try to avoid the faux pas topics I've been getting emailed about lately. All right, you wanted to keep talking a little bit more about Oblivion before we jump into that Jack Thompson thing that I said I kind of wanted to avoid anyway.
All right, so I kind of ran into the break there, but basically, here's a really funny thing. One of the cool things about Oblivion is that the characters in this game have a lot of personality, and you can actually change their disposition towards you depending on what you do. And their kind of behavior, in a lot of ways, is I don't like using the word realistic, but you know, it's very believable in a lot of ways. But then at times they do like some weird things where it seems to like the whole simulation of it kind of just seems to fall apart at the seams. Now here's an example. Like you know, there's this character called Thoromir in the game, right? And he's like this shopkeeper, and one of the quests is, you know, he's selling stuff at like really good prices, and all the other shopkeepers are pissed because, you know, they can't beat his prices. He's kind of like the Walmart of the town. And they think
how ironic, considering where you purchased the game.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And, you know, so he's kind of like, you know, you're supposed to go and investigate, you know, what he's up to, where's he getting his stuff from. So, you know, one of the quests is like, okay, well, you know, at night, you know, follow Thoromir around and see what he does, right? Now, when you walk around in this game, other characters, non-player characters, are aware of your presence. You know, they'll look at you. They'll say things to you. You know, if they like you, they'll be kind. If they don't like you, they won't be kind. You know, if you're, like, in a faction together, they'll give you, like, a special, like, faction greeting. Like, I became part of the Thieves Guild. And so, like, you know, when other Thieves Guild members see you, they like you more automatically. And they, you know, they're like, you know, shadow hide you. And, you know, they say all these cool things. And, you know, you kind of get this cool feeling like...
They give you a secret handshake, too.
Well, you know, no, they haven't modeled the secret handshake. But effectively, you know, they're doing something like that, right? So you just kind of get this sense that, you know, this world is actually alive and the characters have personality. And you kind of buy it, right? But then you do something like, okay, well, in this quest, you have to follow Thoromir, like, at night when he leaves his store to go see what he does, right? So I'm like, you know, creeping around, you know, one of the corners of the town, watching, you know, his doorway, see when he comes out. Oh, he's coming out. Oh, it's dark. So I'm going to start, like, following him. Right. So I'm following him. I'm like, oh, you know, I better not get too close because I don't want him to know I'm following him.
That makes
right?
sense.
Logic would dictate. Right. And then, you know, I don't know. I push the control, the analog stick a little too far. I go a little too fast, accidentally, you know, bump into him a couple of times. And then you realize that, like, wow, you know what? I'm supposed to follow him, but actually he really doesn't care what I'm doing around him. I just have to wait until he gets to the point where he's stopping, which will trigger another event to happen. And so this whole kind of like fantasy that was being conjured up by, you know, what my expectations of real life were, since everything is modeled so realistically, kind of just came apart at that point. And so I thought that
so
was
basically
really
because it's so realistic in so many parts, it screwed up in one important part.
Well, this is invariably what happens in any kind of very, very high realism game, is that, you know, you will gain expectations about other parts because certain things are modeled so realistically. And, you know, since it's not real life, right, they have to model everything that happens. And so no matter what, you'll get to a point where you'll have an expectation of something that, you know, is not fulfilled.
Yeah, or they could have just not left that bit out.
Right. Well, no, but what my point is that, you know, they could just, you know, take care of this one thing.
You just mean inevitably they're going to screw up.
There's going to be something sooner or later, you know, and that's the problem. That's you'll always run into that with realistic games.
I think the lesson you're trying to teach here is don't make good stuff because people will continue to expect good things.
No, it's not about that.
I think that's what he's talking about. Yeah.
No.
What I'm talking about is and you expect bad.
Let me put it this way, right? When you're playing a highly stylized game, like I don't know, maybe some kind of Kirby game or a Mario game, right?
Ratchet and Clank.
Or maybe even Ratchet and Clank. You know, you don't get the same expectations as something that models things realistically.
Yeah.
Because in a stylized world, you don't have real world expectations. In a realistically modeled world, there's a whole bunch of baggage that comes along with that you know, the human mind will expect things, right?
I understand what you're saying.
So it's not just about good, you know, don't make the game too good.
Well, that's essentially it. Don't make it too real.
No, I know what he's talking about, though. I mean, when you play, like, Half-Life 2, well, it was supposed to be so realistic, and then I played it, I'm like, well, this isn't realistic. This game sucks.
But funny.
You said Half-Life 2 sucks?
Yeah, I think the game's terrible, but that's a completely different topic.
Okay, before we do that...
It's a matter of realism. Like, yeah, when you expect realism out of a game that's supposed to be realistic, and then something's not realistic, it's extremely apparent. But if something's not realistic and stylistic, like Okami, it's not a bad thing. Like, you're like, it's not supposed to be real, so that's okay. I think is kind of what
I
it's
going
I ran
into this
at.
Problem when I was playing my virtual brothel game the other week.
Oh.
I was really disappointed.
Yeah. Well, if I can interject real quick, you know, the thing that I find myself doing, even though I know better in a lot of cases in Oblivion, and maybe it's because I haven't, you know, fully understood what all the mechanics are like, is, you know, I still kind of, like, when I'm supposed to follow someone, I still kind of, like, don't get too close to them because I'm not sure what they're going to do. And, you know, people who, you know, like, I want to have them in good favor, like, I want them to have a good disposition towards me. You know, like, I don't want to do things that will piss them off. Like, maybe it has no bearing on the game at all. Maybe it does, right? But I'm not sure, so I'm just kind of like, you know, my brain still kind of tends to make assumptions that, you know, some of these real world things will happen, even though they may or may not be implemented in the game.
Well, see, now with me, I used to, when I was younger, I'd get to play some game and I just want to do whatever was easiest for me in my real world playing in a virtual world, right? I wanted to do whatever was easiest to get to the goal of ultimately beating the game or whatnot. And then I realized that, you know, I want to enjoy the game for the sake of the game, right? The reason I'm sitting down and playing is because it's supposed to be fun. So if I try to, like, cheat the game or get past it in some way, like using a warp zone, right, to skip past 5 levels when normally warp zones are only to skip past 1 level or something.
Sure.
like, at least then I'm still getting some of the game out. But, like, when you discover you can zip through a huge chunk of the game just to get to the end, like, that's not playing the game. In fact, by definition, I'm skipping a huge chunk of the game.
Right. There's, in fact, endless amount of exploits in Oblivion, which, you know, I'm not going to subject myself to because that same reason, you know, I feel like I'm cheating myself.
So, like, in Mario, when I get the unlimited lives or 99 lives or something, that's cool because it's giving me a chance to play more of the game. Or in Contra, when I can't beat it without the 30 lives, right? Because I need that in order to play it. But then if I use a cheat code to, you know, be able to skip through levels or have God mode on so I can't get hurt or anything, I don't want to skip past a part of the game. That's the whole point. So I don't want to cheat it. And I just had to mention that.
Great.
Wanted to throw that out there for you.
And really, you know, nothing beats, you know, being able to go into a town and just have a complete bloodbath of, you know, and just kill everyone in sight.
Well, my point is that, like, I'm going to try and experience that game as if it were real. Like, even if the guy wouldn't know if I were right next to him, I'm still going to pretend because that's what makes the game fun.
Well, that's what I keep doing.
In Wii Sports, I really wave the racket instead of just sort of flicking it a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be right back after the break. 866-536-1100.
Welcome back, folks, to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Zara.
I'm Alon.
And we've got our special guest here. What's his title, Alon?
Senior investigative reporter.
Senior.
Senior investigative reporter. So now, before I move on, I got to mention UAT. They sponsor the show. They make it happen. University of Advancing Technology over at uat.edu. They do a lot of stuff with gaming, game production, game design, that sort of thing. I went there, and Rich even goes there presently. Well, when he's not sleeping, anyway.
Yep.
Tries to make it, or if his car doesn't break down. Or he doesn't come up with one of many, many excuses, like work or something.
When he's not playing Oblivion.
So I want to give 2 minutes, and I'm going to limit it to 2 real minutes about this Jack Thompson deal. I guess something came on Game Politics. You let me read this before we start, yeah. Ara.
All right, so here's the deal. Allegedly, there was this debate being proposed amongst two parties, one of which being Jack Thompson, the other one of which being
Penny Arcade.
Penny Arcade Expo.
Which I got to talk about them, too.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I couldn't find a lot of information about this, but this is kind of funny because...
1 minute, 30 seconds.
Oh, jeez. All right. There was going to be a debate, and now there's not going to be a debate. And so...
Right. So there's been this longstanding feud between...
Of course.
Because they represent us, the game players.
And really, it's just like, I mean, when you say longstanding feud and Jack Thompson... It really everyone else.
They
kind
of started it. Yeah. Like they're the pioneers of arguing with Jack Thompson.
I don't think have necessarily been the most vocal, but they have been the most heard.
Yeah.
Or some of the most heard, simply because they have such a large audience, and a lot of their audience is also not a bunch of losers. Now, granted, they have a bunch of losers also paying attention to them. Their audience is also filled with people in the industry and people who care and people who are intellectual and articulate and all that. And so then we find out that they were wanting to do a debate with Jack Thompson, but not mention it until it was just about to happen.
It's like an hour before it was going to happen.
Yeah. And Jack Thompson's like, their concerns about security were absurd. And I'm thinking to myself, no, they weren't. Because if anything happened, if any gamer did something stupid because he wanted to hurt Jack Thompson, Jack Thompson would have then sued Penny Arcade and their entire outfit. And they would then say, well, dude, we told you not to say anything so that no one would know and no one could prepare to do anything bad. And now they've canceled it because he let the cat out of the bag by talking about it.
Right. So I don't know. This situation looks like there's two kind of a-hole moves.
Jack Thompson?
Actually, no, I would disagree with that. I mean, one of them is, okay, well, you know, they were, you know, Jack Thompson didn't like the idea that they were going to keep it a secret. Until
I don't know why. He doesn't think the audience would be big
enough. Well, whatever. I mean, I don't know. Just for whatever reason, right? So he does this big a-hole thing, which is he announces to, you know, he sends out press releases virtually. He announces to all these outlets that, you know, oh, you know, I want to do this interview and now they won't let me. And uh-huh. I I think that it's this kind of thing where it's like, you know, as you said before, when we were talking about this before the show, you know, maybe it was part of their deal that, you know, Jack Thompson couldn't say anything about it.
For his own safety, I'm sure.
Very well, maybe. I'm not arguing with that. And so now that Jack Thompson violated what was ostensibly the terms of their agreement, now Penny Arcade, in order to save face, or in order to, you know, I don't know, be tough and whatever, is like, well, now we're not going to do the interview. Cause
how about they had the terms in place for a reason, and now since they've been violated, they can't follow through because violated. It's not that they have a choice. I'm sure they don't see it as a choice.
That could very well be the case, too. I mean, it's hard to know what the reality is in a case like this. But
the thing is, like, if anything, even minute happened, he would sue their asses. And, I mean, he could give them a waiver, whatever. But, like, they... And I'm sure this is the reason. They haven't told me. I haven't talked to them about it. But I'm sure the security concern was they don't want one of the many, many idiots who have contacted him, who he's been so vocal about, you know, discussing the fact that people have threatened to kill him, right? One of those idiots getting into PAX, because it's not like they've got high security at PAX, right? They're not checking me for knives and weapons. They let me in off the street. You walk in. You're not supposed to have a gun, I'm sure, but that doesn't stop you. Right? And so they don't want some idiot to do something stupid and then have the whole world look upon them as like the leaders of a large group of gamers and have something horrible happen there. So they want to protect him. And now they are forced to stop it because he was such an idiot and was willing to let people know about it ahead of time. He wants bad stuff to happen so that he'll have more for his cause. And as much as I wouldn't mind if something bad happened to him, I wouldn't want it to happen at one of our hands.
I definitely think that... I wouldn't put it past some crazy fanboy to do something retarded if he actually did show up announced and, you know, people knew about it and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so they need to keep it concealed, and I don't think they consider it a choice now. I think they just say, oh, well, sorry, we had these terms for a reason. It's kind of like saying, hey, if you come here, you're going to fall into a pit and die. But if you're careful, maybe you won't. And he just threw care out the window, and now he's putting himself in harm's way. So they are doing the right thing. But it would have been really cool to be there and see this debate, as long as they were willing to pull his mic when he tried to talk for half an hour.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, you know that any kind of debate involving him would just, it would just go off the deep end right away.
No, anyway. Because they would have prepared by bringing in people who could assist them or whomever in actually providing a good debate. They would have done it correctly. I have complete faith.
I'm saying one way or the other, you know, if not that, Jack Thompson would certainly make sure that it would. I mean, you can't have a serious conversation with this guy, right?
I think he probably knew that he wouldn't do it, and this was a way to get out of it. Who knows?
That's very possible, too.
Anyway, there was some other stuff I want to talk about here. Brought Rich on, because he specifically texted me the other day. He made me spend money just to read a message that he could have sent in an email.
Wow.
Or, you know, maybe a voicemail. You know, by the way, it's going up like this month.
Rich,
15
Rich,
cents now.
You never make Alon spend money.
Yeah. Don't ever send me a text message
that's
again.
That's right. I'm sorry. So
he still owes me $5.
So he text messages me this information about something I really don't care about. And so now he's our senior investigative reporter from UAT of useless crap people don't care about. But for some reason, I feel that, I mean, we have a listenership of approximately zero. So if two people think this is interesting, then we're gaining ground. So what is it that you texted me about thinking was so important you had to wake me from my slumber of not caring?
For those that don't know, Robert Suma is a guy that's been around in the gaming industry, news reporting for a while. He was fired from Joystick a while ago, I don't know, like 8-9 months ago, and then went to work for Destructoid.
Yeah, it was a big deal, because he was sensationalist.
It was a big deal, because he was, I'm Robert Suma, look at my posts.
I had never known his name.
And
there
then
was
he
something
got
in
fired,
like,
and it was a
whole
big deal, because everybody was like, oh, Robert Suma
got
fired.
Well, he got like the whole, you know, gaming geek world buzzing about some big Nintendo announcement that would happen at midnight, and then almost nothing happened, and Joystick had to be like, sorry that we got you guys all excited about this stupid crap.
Yeah. Now we'll fire this reporter.
We're going to can this guy, because he's an idiot. So he goes over to Joystick.
He goes over to Destructoid.
Destructoid, excuse me.
And he's been there for, I don't know, 9 months now. 8 months. I can't count. It doesn't matter. It's been a while.
And he left to pursue his interests at a convent.
Quote unquote resigned from Destructoid now.
That doesn't sound sensationalist.
He was informed of his resignation last week.
He was informed that he would be forced to resign.
He's now moved on to, quote, bigger and better things, end quote.
Did he actually quote that? Is that?
He said that, yes.
Okay.
He said that. He's moving on to bigger and better things at GGL. The Global Gaming League, and EG, which is Epileptic Gaming, which is a...
Well, those, all my gaming sessions are always epileptic.
Yeah.
But no, it's interesting to me, because...
What was interesting
I'm
to me is
that
he created this... He helped to create this feud between Joystick and Destructoid.
Yeah, he's part of it. And I mean, I don't know, apparently GGL is big news.
I want to know if that feud is going to die down, because I wanted them both to be on the Chatterbox Treasure Box, and I can't have them both on at once. That's happening at PAX, by the way.
I don't know.
All right, I'm continuing my talk with the people at Penny Arcade to get the Chatterbox Treasure Box to continue. I mean, that's definitely happening this year. I even know what room we're in this year. Big stage in Seattle, and we're working on another event, too. I told you guys I'd tell you about it, and still working on it, but Chatterbox is expected to be at two events. We're very excited.
Involving lots of fire and wax.
Sure. So thank you, Rich, for joining us. Thank you, UAT, for sponsoring the show. We are going to be back next week with more Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.